Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Our Father, oh, how thankful we are just to be a part of this worship experience. Scriptures have been read. Prayer's been prayed, songs been sung, instruments been played. Now, Father, as I stand before you, speak to me and through me, that your word will go forth, that we'll feel better leaving than when we came, because we've heard a word from you. Father, we thank you. We lift you on high. Protect our nation. Protect each and every one of us. But God, especially, look down upon our children. Please, Father, have mercy. In Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen. To the triune Godhead, to Pastor Wyman Lewis, Reverend Slaughter, Reverend Dearborn, to our First Lady, Sister Green, and to our deacons and deaconess, to ministers' wives that are present, to these ministers of music, to this choir. Amen. You see us all today in our red and black because we're representing the mission. When we leave here, our own Sister Sampson will be the speaker at Mount Triumph Baptist Church, and we will go and support her. Amen. Before we get into the text this morning, I want to be so thankful to have Pastor Wyman Lewis here with us this morning. Amen. If you all have not heard him, he is one of the most brilliant minds on this side of heaven. Amen. And we invited him to come back the second Sunday of next month to preach for us. You are in for a treat. This man's mind, God made us, then he's like he just made Wyman Lewis. Amen. I am humbled just the idea he's here. But we would like for him to come back on the second Sunday of next month to preach for us. You are in for a treat. God has blessed him with unbelievable knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Luke chapter 16. Commencing at verse 19, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, commencing at verse 19. Here is the word of God. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. Verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We want to talk on this thought, things are different now. God bless you. Thank you, Urshas. Things are different now. There is nothing more boring than that which is routine. Predictability has no excitement, no allure, because you know already what's going to happen. And somewhere along the line, the church itself had lost its allure because of routine and predictability. We would come to church and we knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and why it was going to happen. But then God allowed COVID-19. And now routine is gone and predictability is vanquished. Now when we come to church, there's no programs to be handed out. We come to church, we have no idea what the Holy Spirit is going to do until we get here. And it's sad that a pandemic had to come our way, that we can step aside and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Things are different now. When you look at the word different, different is an adjective. It means not the same as another. Partly and totally unlike in nature, in form, and in quality. And one of the synonyms to different is divergent. Divergent, which is where our text is applied, is moving or extending in different directions from a common point. We left the same place, but we ended up in two different directions. And my brothers and sisters, a lot of us are going to leave Earth, but we are going in two different directions. It's either heaven or hell. But it all depends on the decision you're making now. That's why, Pastor Lewis, it disturbs me. Children of God who have gotten so sophisticated now to say it don't take all of this noise to praise God. I can't go to church with all of this racket that people make. Well, you better not look up and go to heaven, because every day gonna be Sunday. Matter of fact, if you have a problem with noise, no matter which way you go, there's gonna be noise. If you go to heaven, there's going to be praising God every day. If you go to hell, they're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Now, if I'm going to get noise in any direction I go in, I'd rather get the noise that heaven is going to offer. The text that is before us, the parable that Jesus has before us, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral and spiritual lesson. Parable simply is an earthly story with heavenly implications. Jesus relates the mystery of the kingdom with stories that people are familiar with. And in this story, there are two places that is the center of attraction. It is hell and heaven. And let me tell you all, that hell is not a myth. Hell is not a hoax. The devil believes in hell, but he doesn't want you and I to believe in hell. He would love for us to adapt to the doctrine of the Unitarians, who suggest and teach that hell is already here on earth and that everybody is going to heaven regardless of how you live. But I come to bust your bubble wide open. You're not going to heaven regardless of how you live. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so as we look at this text before us, that things are different now. Number one, write this down. Their paths changed. Watch this. In the text, in the parable, there are two locations that are focused. It is heaven and hell. There are two men that is the focus. Two men who are on the opposite ends of the social and financial ladder. Not only are there two locations and two men, but then there's two problems. The rich man's problem was he was rich. Lazarus' problem was he was in poverty. Y'all not get what I'm saying. The rich man's problem was that he was rich. And the Lazarus' problem was he was in poverty. The reason why the rich man's riches was his problem, because his riches was his God. The reason why poverty was Lazarus' problem, because poverty resulted him to begging. So both had a problem. Each problem could have been fixed if one would have stepped up to the plate. You didn't get what I'm saying. You can have two men with two problems, but God will bless one to handle both problems. If Lazarus would have forgotten about his riches and reached down to his brother to help him out, both of their problems would have been fixed. And so we have two locations, two men and two problems. But then as we look at the text in verse 19, it says the rich man, he had everything that a heart could wish for. The Bible says that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. That linen, that was a sign of royalty. That means he was high in society and on the social and financial status. The Bible said he fared sumptuously, meaning he ate well every day. Breakfast was expensive. Lunch was expensive. Dinner was expensive. He didn't know nothing about grits and gravy. He didn't know nothing about hog chitlins and pig feet. He had lamb. He had T-bone steaks. He had ribeyes. He had the best of everything. He had everything that a heart can wish for. He lived in a nice home surrounded by walls with a gate. When you would drive up to his dwelling, you would be in awe with how he was living. He wore the best of the name brand clothes. He had everything that his heart desired. But on the inside, he was rotten to the core. There was nothing that he desired that he could not have. But Lazarus, on the other hand, verses 20 and 21, on the other hand, Lazarus lived by the gate of the rich man. He lived there because he had no other place to dwell. He lay at the gate hoping to be fed with the scraps from the rich man's table. As he laid by the gate, his body was covered with sores. And the only relief, Reverend Dearborn, that he would get from the aches and the pains that the sores gave him is when the dog came and licked his sores. Let me say it again. It's sad that an animal would have more compassion on a human than another human being. They had two paths in life. One was rich, one was poor. One had everything that the heart could desire for. The other one just wanted to be fed with the scraps. He didn't even ask for a full meal. Just let the stuff that falls from the table. If you would give that to me, then I'll be satisfied. And all you young people who are here listening and by social media got the nerve to say, I don't eat that. I don't want that. But I've discovered if you get hungry enough, parents, you need to send them to bed hungry. Quit giving them options. I'm guilty of it myself. Quit giving them options. If they don't eat that, don't prepare another meal. Don't go to McDonald's. Don't go nowhere. Just tell them to go to bed. But when their stomachs start wrapping around their backbone, I promise you, the meal that you prepared, they will get up and eat. This man desired for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But look at their paths in life were different, the two paths. But even when they died, their paths changed. When the beggar died, watch this, there was no big funeral. They just took his body out, Pastor Lewis, and threw it in the valley of Gehenna, where the trash and unwanted items were thrown away. In biblical days, the poor and the homeless were thrown into the valley of Gehenna. They would just throw them there and let the rotting corpses just sit there with the feces and the dead animals and all of the trash. They would just throw them away, wouldn't even give them a proper burial. But oh, the beggar died, his body was thrown away, but the angels became his pallbearers and carried him to Abraham's bosom. What y'all missed? Why he was on this side of the grave, he had no significance. No one cared about him. He didn't desire to be rich. He didn't desire to be famous. He just desired to be fed a meal. And even if the meals that was crumbs falling from the table, if he was here today, he would testify, if I would have gotten that, Mount Zion, then I can sing any way you bless me, Lord. I'll be satisfied. But when he died, his body was thrown into the valley of the Gehenna, where the trash and the corpses of animals and feces were, but his spirit. God dispatched six angels, I'm just going to say six, and they became his pallbearers. And they said, we're going to carry you from the gate to the palace. We're going to carry you from a dirty ground to Abraham's bosom. Y'all don't get what I'm saying. You may not get everything you want on this side of the grave, but I promise you, if you be faithful, God gonna let you know, I saw what you've been through. I was right there with you, and I just want you to know you in a place now where death can't reside. You in a place now where Satan can't bother you. You in a place now where you'll never feel abandoned again. Look at the paths. In death, their paths changed. But when the rich man died, the Bible just said he was just buried. Y'all missed it. The beggar didn't get a burial, but he got a heavenly home. The rich man had a big funeral. I'm quite sure the preacher tried to put him in heaven. But unfortunately, he went in the other direction. He didn't have what the beggar was able to have. So watch this. Number one, their path changed. But number two, their position changed. Notice two things here. The loss goes to a place of torment. Secondly, watch this. If you go to this place of torment, you will know why you're there. Y'all didn't miss one. Y'all got quiet on me. When you go, if you don't accept Christ, believe me, that's where you're going. And when you show up there, you're going to know why you showed up. See, in Greek, hell is Hades, meaning an unseen world. Hell, as we think of it, is the place that has not yet been occupied. Revelations 20 and 10 says that the first occupants of hell would be the Antichrist and the false prophets. When you die out of Christ, you go to an unseen place, but it's a place of torment. And you are tormented there until Christ returns. And the Bible says that when he comes back, the sea gonna give up his dead. Hell gonna give up his dead. And then when you stand before the great white throne, those who have not accepted Christ and names not written in the Lamb's book of life, then you will go into the lake of fire. Now watch this. It's bad enough you got enough hell on this side of the grave. You die and you go to a place of torment. And you are tormented there until Christ returns to call your body, your death back, your spirit back up. And then he casts you into the lake of fire, where you'll be burned forever and ever and ever. So when both died, both went to unseen worlds. One was a world of comfort. The other was a world of torment. Look at the beggar as he's placed in Abraham's bosom. Y'all know what the death did? Death was a doorway that changed their positions. While they were alive, Lazarus was down here. The rich man was up here. But death changed it. And you're sad, circle of circumstance, if you think your social status is going to automatically get you into heaven. Just because you are well-known and well-respected here, you just think God is going to lay down the red carpet for you. Your money, you don't have enough money to buy your way in there, baby. Watch this. The rich man did not end up in hell because he was rich. He ended up in hell because he refused to accept Christ as his Savior. The beggar did not end up in Abraham's bosom because he was poor. But somewhere along the line, he had to accept Christ as his Savior. You're not getting what I'm trying to tell you. But just because you are poor and struggling don't mean you're going to automatically go to heaven. You still got to accept Christ as your Savior. Just because you're rich and well-known don't mean you're going to go to heaven. Y'all need to get out of this thing just because I'm black and I'm being oppressed and the white man did it. No, if you don't accept Christ, I don't care how bad the white man treated you, you're still going to hell. If you don't accept him as your personal Savior, you are still going to hell. Quit singing that song, Save a Seat for Me. I don't trust you to save a seat for me. If you get there before I, how you know you're going to get there before me anyway? Watch this. We're going to all get there together. And so here they had two paths. They had two directions. The reason why Jesus made a statement some time ago saying it's easy for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven, not because he's rich, because most rich people believe that they already have everything they need and they don't need Christ. But my brothers, I need you to understand, Lazarus ended up in Abraham's bosom because even though he was without, he still trusted God. The rich man died because he never trusted God and asked God to forgive him of his sins. Now, here they are. Two different things. Two paths, two positions. But watch this. You might want to write this down. Watch this. Come on. The rich man became the beggar, while the beggar became the rich man. Look what death did. It changed their positions. Watch this. Not only did their paths change and their positions change, but then their pleasures changed. What a contrast in this story. While on earth, the rich man had all he wanted. He would never settle for less than the best. But now, he's in hell. He's in a place of torment. And now that he prays for a single drop of water. Y'all missed it. Look how his pleasure changed. Before he died, his pleasure was only to please himself and to show off his status before man. But now, if I only had, not a glass of water, just one little drop. Brother Sapp, he wasn't thinking about faring sumptuously. He wasn't thinking about wearing purple and fine linen. I just want one drop of water. When he had it, he took it for granted. And see, that's what God had to show this whole world. I think we had taken everything for granted. For you just to walk into a store and buy what you want to eat tonight and go home and cook it and don't even thank God for it, you took it for granted. But now when the pandemic hit, when you drove up to the store, now you're saying, Lord, please let it be something in there for me to buy. Now you can't eat before you thank God for it. Now, because God had changed the pleasures. But can you imagine that that place was so hot, so sweltering that a drop of water would welcome relief to his body. My brothers and sisters, you want to know what really makes hell hell? It's not the fire and brimstone. It's not the outer darkness. It's not the creeping things that will be eating off your flesh while you're there. It's not the repetitions of pain that you'll be dealing with, but it's eternal separation from God. You can pray in heaven, hell, but it won't be heard. And it won't be answered. Once you get there, there's no getting out. I wonder how many times in life that you ever thought about your own spiritual condition. That if Christ will show up right now, where would you go? And while you're in there, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And Ronnie, I believe that he began to remember how bad he treated him. Watch this. If you go to hell, not only are you going to remember why you're there, but you're going to remember every opportunity that God gave you to get out of there. You're going to remember every sermon this little short bald head preacher tried to tell you that hell is real. You're going to remember every opportunity and every chance you had to escape this damnation, but you rejected Christ because of your mean self. You're going to remember when the preacher said, why don't you just praise God, and you fold your arms and said, I ain't going to do nothing, he say. You're going to remember when the preacher said, if God been good to you, stand on your feet and let the world know. You're going to remember in hell when you said, I'm not going to do nothing.